After a deadly weekend in Charlottesville, could efforts to fight violent extremism get more support? From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Amy Scott, in for David Brancaccio. The conversation continues into this week over what happened in Charlottesville after a planned rally by white nationalist groups led to violent clashes and the death of anti-racist protester Heather Heyer. One federal effort set up under the Obama administration to target domestic terrorism is the Countering Violent Extremism Program. Recent changes under the Trump administration have raised questions about that program's future. Marketplace's Andy Euler has been following this. Andy, give us a little background on this Countering Violent Extremism Program.
So, Amy, the idea of spending government money on trying to thwart terrorist plots has certainly been a major focus since September 11th. And it was formalized, this CVE program was formalized in 2015 under the Department of Homeland Security. Now, the program was given a $10 million budget. The idea was that these federal grants would be awarded to community organizations, city and county law enforcement, and then other groups whose mission was basically just to prevent any terrorist activity here in the state. Now, the program has faced criticism on both sides of the political aisle. Some on the left have argued that the FBI and other federal law enforcement agencies have too much information, our private information, basically. And some Republicans don't think the approach focuses enough on involving law enforcement.
So in late June, we got a list from the Department of Homeland Security for which organizations were granted funding. What's changing?
So the Trump administration's focusing way more on coordinating with law enforcement. Now, most of the groups are formal local government agencies. Less seem to be focused on community activism. Now, there was even talk of shifting the name of the organization in order to focus specifically on Islamic terrorism. Now, the Obama administration's approach seemed to be much broader.
All right. Thanks, Andy Euler. Let's check the markets. Tokyo's Nikkei index fell 1%, even after news that the Japanese economy grew at its fastest pace in more than 2 years. The FTSE in London is up 0.6%. Dow, S&P and Nasdaq futures are all up in the 0.5% range, with the Dow future up 94 points. The nonprofit think tank RAND has a big survey out this morning on Americans and their workplaces. Some key takeaways: a lot of us work in high-pressure, stressful environments and don't have enough time to get the job done, so we take it home with us. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
RAND surveyed some 3,000 Americans about their workplaces. It found more than half do work in their own personal time to meet employers' demands. A quarter say they don't have enough time to do their jobs. Nicole Mastis teaches at Harvard Med School, and she's the report's lead researcher.
We increasingly seem to have a workplace that expects us to be always available on demand, and yet the employer doesn't always return the favor by allowing workers the ability to adjust their hours when they need to.
Now, hourly workers are supposed to be paid overtime for working on their own time. But Kathy Ruckelshaus at the National Employment Law Project says salaried workers in administrative, professional, or executive jobs aren't so lucky. All they can do is ask the boss for a more reasonable workload.
But there's very little legal recourse for those workers.
RAND found some things Americans are satisfied with. More than half say they have supportive bosses and good friends at work. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
The seeds planted by farmers and gardeners used to be in the public domain, but then in the 1980s, new laws and court rulings made it easier to patent them. Now, most of the seeds available for farmers are owned by just a handful of companies. As Eilish O'Neill reports from Northwest Washington, a group of plant breeders is trying to change that.
Ever since the 1980s, companies like Monsanto and DuPont have been patenting seeds company scientists have modified. That prevents farmers from harvesting seeds from those modified plants and planting them the following year. Greg Traxler, an agricultural economist at the University of Washington, says that's a good thing, because without patents,
no one is going to invest in improving seeds. The whole idea of patenting is you provide incentive for companies to produce a seed that is yielding more every year.
But others say those increased yields have come at a cost. And some are trying to develop an alternative model, the Open Source Seed Initiative.
So this is a spinach called Beaujolais.
Seed breeders involved in the initiative take seeds from the public domain and breed a new variety, like this red spinach Brian Campbell developed on his farm near Bellingham, Washington.
We've been working with it for years and stabilized the genetics on it.
Instead of patenting the spinach, Campbell and his partner Christine Goldberg say anyone who buys the seeds can gather them, reproduce them, even modify them and sell the new seeds, as long as they don't patent or restrict those seeds.
We just really wanted to get seeds out there that everybody could take that information and breed what made sense for their region or their garden or their taste.
Goldberg and Campbell hope to give farmers more choices about where to buy their seeds and also about what varieties are available. And they're also hoping to address another problem. If there are limited seed varieties, those varieties have the same vulnerabilities. Here's Philip Howard, a professor at Michigan State University.
We're all at risk of climate change or even drought and pests that could pretty easily wipe out crops and threaten the resilience of our food supply.
So far, the 38 breeders involved in the initiative have licensed nearly 400 seed varieties. In Northwest Washington, I'm Alicia Neal for Marketplace.
President Trump is expected to interrupt his vacation to make a brief visit to Washington today, where he faces bipartisan pressure to explicitly denounce white supremacist groups involved in the weekend's violence in Virginia. While at the White House, Trump is expected to request an investigation into alleged Chinese theft of American intellectual property. In Washington, I'm Amy Scott with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.